Hello, dear friend. It's time again for the Wild Strawberry English News. Today we'll be looking at several articles regarding protests and demonstration. The first two are about the Daliao gas leak accident. The first article is on January 17th on Taipei Times. About 2,000 residents from Kaohsiung County, Daliao Township, protested in front of the presidential office in Taipei yesterday, accusing the government of incompetence in handling the poisonous gas leak in their hometown, and demanding that the Environmental Protection Administration Minister Stephen Shen, Shen Shihong, step down. The protesters, wearing yellow ribbons and waving signs in front of the presidential office, also said President Ma Ying-jeou should apologize for the government's incompetence and visit the town to gain a better understanding of their suffering. There were four toxic gas leaks last month, allegedly emitted from Dafu Industrial Park in Daliao Township, which affected nearby Chaoliao Elementary and Middle Schools. Dozens of students and teachers were hospitalized and treated for nausea, dizziness, and chest pains. Following an order analysis, the EPA said the source of four toxic gas leaks may never be identified, as there could be multiple sources, adding that what was more important was the future incident did not occur. Last Friday, Shen, while grilled by legislators over the case, said the Kaohsiung County government should shoulder responsibility for the case, and that if he promised there would never be another gas leak, then he would only be striking his own fancy. Among the protesters yesterday were students from Chaoliao Elementary and Middle Schools, who took leave to join the protest. "Give us clean air, we don't want to inhale poison every day," the protesters shouted. Daliao Township Chief Huang Tianhuang accused the EPA of failing to find the source of gas leaks and for ignoring residents' rights. The residents will besiege the sewage factory in the industrial park on Sunday if the presidential office fails to respond to the protest, he said. The protesters demanded the sewage factory be relocated and urged the industrial park to conduct an environmental impact assessment. Wu Qingbin, director of Kaohsiung City's Department of Labor Affairs, also joined the protest and called on the government to solve the problem as soon as possible to prevent further health risks to local residents. Presidential Office Public Relations Director Eddie Tsai later accepted the petition from the protesters. The protest ended peacefully shortly after Tsai accepted the petition. The second article was on January 19, 2009, Taipei Times. Demanding answers as to whether or not they would be compensated for suffering from toxic gas emission, hundreds of angry residents from Kaohsiung County's Daliao Township protested at the Dafa Industrial Park yesterday. Around 1:30 p.m., Daliao Township Chief Huang Tianhuang led between 200 and 300 residents on a march to the Dafa Waste Processing Plant. The protesters demanded an apology from the plant and that each resident be compensated NT$100,000 for having been adversely affected by the gas leaks. They also demanded the sewage factory be relocated and urged the industrial park to conduct an environmental impact assessment. On December 1st, an unidentified toxic gas sickened 82 students at Chaoliao Junior High School and Elementary School while they were in classes. They were rushed to a nearby hospital after they began vomiting and complained they were feeling dizzy. The poisonous gas affected villagers again on December 12th, December 25th, and December 29th. Efforts to pinpoint the source of leak have so far failed. The Environmental Protection Administration, EPA, after conducting analysis, said the source of toxic gas leak may never be identified as they could have been multiple sources. On Friday, nearly 2,000 residents of three villages in Daliao staged a protest in front of the presidential office to express their anger over the government's inability to pinpoint the source of the leak that has sickened children in the area. Denouncing the government for its inability to protect them, the protesters said they believe that neither the EPA nor the industrial park want to resolve the problem and working to sidestep their responsibilities. Friday's protest ended peacefully after the presidential office public affairs department director Cai Zhongli accepted a petition from the villagers. Yesterday's protest, however, turned violent when protesters successfully broke down blockades that police had set up in front of the plant. Several protesters, wearing helmets and armed with baseball bats and hammers, broke through the lines of police and began smashing the plant's glass window. They were later arrested. Amidst the pushing and shoving, a section chief at the park lost his helmet and suffered from concussion. A television news reporter was also injured during the violent protests. Huang Junrong, section chief of the Dafa sewage plant, later addressed the protesters and said the company hoped that the residents could give it time to deal with the matter. After negotiation, the two sides agreed that the sewage plant would provide details of any relocation and possible compensation by 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Okay, next we're gonna look at the Weiya held by the unemployed. Hundreds of unemployed workers and union members gathered at Liberty Square in Taipei yesterday and held their own Weiya, an year-end party held before the Lunar New Year, in protest against the government's inability to help them keep their jobs. The workers sat down at dozens of banquet tables and had rice noodles and pig blood soup. The event was organized by labor association and workers' union from across the country, including the National Federation of Independent Trade Union, NAFITU, the Confederation of Taipei Trade Union, the Youth Labor Union, the Formosa Plastic Group Workers Union, and several others. Most companies in the country held Weiya for their employees as a form of thanking them for a year of hard work. Labor association and unions decided to hold their own Weiya for those who lost their jobs because of the economic downturn and unfair labor practices by their employers, the organizer said. The event was also a follow-up to a protest held last month when hundreds of angry union members gathered in front of the Council of Labor Affairs, CLA, demanding that it crack down on business that conduct illegal mass layoffs, force workers to take unpaid leave, and engage in other illegal labor practices. Unsatisfied with the response they received from the council and the lack of change in labor policy, the protesters said the mass Weiya was a form of protest. The Directorate General of Budget, Accounting and Statistics said that as of the end of November, the unemployment rate had continued to climb, reaching 4.64%, with more than 500,000 people unemployed. Unpaid leave means the employers is trying to avoid paying workers their salary and forcing them to quit on their own. It is really just unemployment in disguise, NAFITU President Zhu Weili said. The government should require all companies planning layoffs, pay cuts, or unpaid leave to meet requirements by showing that they have suffered long-term losses from a decline in demand and prove they had no other options but to cut salary costs, he said. The workers also demanded the CLA set up a fund to help troubled workers delay paying off loans and urged the councils to extend unemployment benefits from 6 months to 9 months. In response, the CLA said it was mulling a labor rights fund that would provide subsidies to workers whose disputes with their employers and in litigation. As for the extending unemployment benefit, the council said it would evaluate conditions in the labor market and map out necessary measures. That's an article on the unemployees Weiya. And next, we'll be looking at Sanyin community. They danced, they sang, they prepared a feast for their guests. It could have been another Weiya, but this party was a demonstration and the hosts were worried about their future despite the festival atmosphere. After a long struggle with the Taipei County government to spare their homes from demolition last year, residents of the Sanyin Aboriginal community organized the protest Weiya to show appreciation to their supporters and solidarity among themselves. I'm very excited to see so many friends here today. I know all of you have work today, but you still take the time to come out and support us. When you hear about the trouble we're in, Science Community Chief Kakao told more than 100 supporters and residents before introducing members of the Science Self-Help Association. I want you to know that your help and support mean a lot to us, and we want to say thank you, Kakao said as the self-help group's member bowed to the audience. The Sanyin community is located in Yinge Township, Taipei County, on the bank of Dahanxi. Most of the residents are Amis, Aborigines who came to Taipei to work as laborers and built their simple homes there because they could not afford the city's real estate prices. However, as their houses were illegal and located in what the Water Conservation Act has classified as a flood zone, the county has torn down their houses several times in the past decades. Although they have rebuilt their homes each time, they still have to live with the fear that their homes could be razed again. The situation seems to have taken a turn for the better when Taipei County Commissioner Zhou Xiwei made a surprise visit to the community recently, promising that the county government would not touch their homes until a suitable location has been found for their relocation. The promise gave the residents some relief, but they said they could not fully believe it until they saw what developed. I think we still have a long way to go, but we are not yet sure what we'll do next. We'll probably get our electricity restored first, Sanyin spokeswoman Hong Fengqin told the Taipei Times. The electricity was cut during one of the demolitions last year. In front of Hong was tables with items donated by supporters for fundraising, including a Cape No. 9 movie poster autographed by director Wei Deshen, a calendar bearing the autograph of director Hou Xiaoxian, and a pack of rice autographed by farmers' rights activist Yang Rumen. Residents of the Xizhou Aboriginal Community, a community in Xindian City, Taipei County, that faces the same fate as Sanyin, performed several songs they wrote themselves. While the county government has left it alone for a year since the last time it threatened to flatten a community in 2007, Xizhou residents were also uncertain about their future. The county government said it would find another piece of land for us, but we want to stay where we are, Xizhou Self-Help Association Chairwoman Osei Sama said. They haven't bothered us for some time already, but we don't know when they will come again. That's the article on Taipei Times, January 18th, 2009. It's about Sanyin community and Xizhou community. Next is an article wrote by Chen Longzhi, the president of Taiwan New Century Foundation. The title is "The Freedom Gap Across the Strait is wide as ever." Since its establishment in 1941, the US-based international non-governmental organization for human rights, Freedom House, has devoted itself to research on and advocating democracy and freedom around the world. It now plays a crucial role in the fight for freedom in the international community. Freedom House held the global release of its most important publication, Freedom in the World, in Taipei last Tuesday. There was a special significance behind the release in Taiwan. Aside from affirming the achievement over the year in terms of democracy and freedom that have made Taiwan one of Asia's most dynamic democracy, Freedom House's decision to release its report in Taiwan at this time may have been an indication that it is concerned with regression of freedom and rights in Taiwan and the challenges that this poses. The report is based on evaluations of political rights and civil liberties of 193 countries and 16 regions. 89 countries were listed as free, 62 as partly free, and 42 as not free. Taiwan was listed as free, while China was listed as not free. Looking at past ratings, we can see that Taiwan was not listed as a free country in 1973. In 1977, it became partly free and has been listed as free since 1997. Especially worthy of attention is that in 2006, Taiwan scored a 1 for both political rights and civil liberties, while placed it among the freest countries in the world. This year, Taiwan scored a 2 for political rights and 1 for civil liberties, which means that Taiwan continues to be ranked as a free country. Despite this ranking, Freedom House still requested that Taiwanese government work on freedom of speech, freedom of assembly and association, as well as judicial independence. China, meanwhile, scored 7, the lowest possible score for political rights, and 6 for civil liberties. Freedom House criticized China for not fulfilling the promises made to improve human rights when it was granted the right to host the Olympic Games. Freedom House also said that China was strengthening its control of the internet and media, as well as quelling religious freedoms, meddling in the judiciary, and crushing human rights. As Taiwan continues its way towards freedom and democracy, China belongs with the countries that are being left behind, Obviously, freedom is the biggest thing that separates China and Taiwan, and the Taiwanese people need to cherish and uphold the freedom that we have worked so hard to obtain. The writer of this article is Chen Longzhi, the president of Taiwan New Century Foundation. That's all for this week's news. Thank you for listening, and keep supporting the Wild Strawberry Movement. I'll see you in 2 weeks.